The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit-rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, August 22nd, 2010. This week, we'll wrap up week 3 of Urgent Fury Black's second evolution for 2010 as six clans engage in a full-out no-boom brawl for a place in Urgent Fury's Hall of Champions. EA's forthcoming Medal of Honor reboot has created quite a stir in the last few weeks as the game and its developer have been hit with a barrage of complaints and has many gamers wondering if the title will even make it to the store shelves this fall. All that plus we'll finally introduce you to Urgent Fury's new secret weapon. Objects in mirror may be closer than they appear. This is Urgent Frequency. Hey, this is Rex motherfucking Ryan, head motherfucking coach of the New York motherfucking football Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 and you're fucking listening to motherfucking Urgent fucking Frequency on UrgentFuckingFury.com, motherfucking.
The elite operators of the U.S. Special Operations community are tasked with only the most difficult and dangerous missions. The subject featured in the following interview operated within this community and acted as a consultant on the development of Medal of Honor. Their identity has been concealed for security purposes.
Somebody asked me what I do for a living. I help people. When I'm on an op, I'm not thinking it's at home. What the job is in front of you, that's the only thing that matters at the time. Guys are always going to modify their gear the way that they want to, obviously, but nobody's going to dictate how you carry your magazines or what holster you use. The bottom line is results. If you're on a DA and you're kicking doors and the only thing you're thinking is check your six, give the squeeze, and do your job. Once you're in the door, you're thinking eight box shots on shoots, and don't shoot the no shoots. If everybody's standing, then we're good to go. Let's tackle the next problem. Every man around you has the utmost confidence in you to do your job, and at the same time, you better do your job because they're expecting you to. E1 mission is successful. You can bet there's a dozen lessons learned that you've taken home. Success within a brotherhood is defined as taking care of your brothers. That's the bottom line. Everybody comes home.
Medal of Honor from Electronic Arts, October 12th, 2010.
You can show your support for Wounded Warrior Project using your cellular telephone. To give $5 to Wounded Warrior Project, simply text WWP one word to 90999. You will get a text back asking you to confirm your gift. Just reply with yes, and $5 will be added to your phone bill and will go straight to Wounded Warrior Project. Help make a difference for those veterans wounded while defending our freedom. Standard text message fees apply.
Urgent frequency.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Week 4 of Urgent Fury Black, Urgent Fury's ever-popular no-boom tournament event, gets underway this week. As clans begin to separate themselves from one another after 3 weeks of solid no-boom bullets and brains competition. to the leaderboard. KOH sits on top with 58 points and a 7-2 record, while 101 occupies the 2 spot with a 5-3-1 record heading into Week 4. Clan Uprising and the Raven Falls share the 3 spot with identical 4-2-3 records, while CKS and LPK divvy up the 4 spot with matching records of 4-3-2. CBF sits alone in 5th place, limping through the first 3 weeks of the season with a 2-6-1 record, and SCK rounds out the bottom as they remain winless in 9 straight. Good luck to all the teams as we head into Week 4. Be sure to visit www.urgentfury.com/black for more intel.
Spoof that flashback.
We're having a spring blowout!
So are we!
Every car, truck, and van on the lot has got to be moved to make way for new inventory.
Well, don't put them over here because we're getting new stuff in, too!
5% financing with 5% down.
4% financing with no money down.
Hot dogs for the kids and giant purple inflatable gorillas.
First year of college for the kids paid for, no questions asked, and a real pony to take home.
All right, 2% financing and we'll cut a sunroof in every car.
All test drives come with a Hooters girl.
All sales personnel will have socks stuffed in their mouths.
All sales personnel will be welded into our safe in the basement away from the public.
No financing, no money down, nothing to sign or fill out.
Free car, woman, and gas for life.
Meet your favorite DJ with a live radio remote.
We promise no radio DJ will be anywhere within a 5-mile radius.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine, go to that car dealer. I don't care.
Fine.
Fine.
Urgent frequency.
Eric, we're talking about potholes right now, okay?
It's not potholes you need to worry about. It's potheads. I know what these people are capable of.
Urgent frequency.
We've just come off of the worst month of casualties in the whole war, and this game is going to be released in October. So families who are burying their children are going to be seeing this and playing this game. I just don't see that a video game based on a current war makes any sense at all. It's disrespectful.
Atomic Game 6 Days in Fallujah. It's a third-person shooter described by the developer as a survival horror game. It's also the first game to focus directly on Operation Iraqi Freedom, mainly the Second Battle of Fallujah or Operation Phantom Fury. To date, it's the bloodiest battle of the war in Iraq. Konami eventually dropped the title in response to a firestorm of controversy created by angry veterans and the families and friends who lost loved ones in the battle. Sony even registered the trademark Shock and Awe the day after the actual operation began to use as a video game title, but later withdrew the application after criticism and described it as, quote, an exercise of regrettable bad judgment, end of quote. So the question is, where do we draw the line? That fine line between entertainment and exploitation. In the commercially competitive first-person shooter genre, Electronic Arts has chosen a controversial path for its upcoming Medal of Honor reboot, set partially in modern-day Afghanistan. A decision that's now courting an international mainstream media controversy over a game that allows players to play as the Taliban. For more on the controversy surrounding Medal of Honor, we turn to our friends on the Grapevine.
Hello, welcome to the game on Grapevine. Today we're coming to you from a completely different war zone. EA's Medal of Honor nearly tipped off a war of words this week as developers DICE addressed the controversial decision to make the Taliban a playable faction in the game. Gamers will be able to play as one of the militant Islamists in the multiplayer experience once the game launches this autumn. So far, the shells haven't hit the fan over the announcement, probably because the news hasn't been out long enough for the tabloids to start foaming at the mouth properly. Hysterical tabloid overreaction or no, though, the move does raise the question of whether or not it's appropriate to allow gamers to play as insurgents in a depiction of an ongoing conflict.
I love you, Chloe, very much.
Responding to press questions, DICE, developers of Medal of Honor, maintain the series' emphasis is on the storytelling rather than the conflict at large, They said they can't get away from what the setting is and who the factions are, which is a fair point within the context. The game is set in current-day Afghanistan, and so it stands to reason they have to deal with the Taliban at some point. However, what wasn't acknowledged was the fact they didn't have to go there in the first place. Nobody forced them to set the game in Afghanistan, but they've chosen to do it, and fair enough, they've stuck to their guns. What we want to know now, though, is whether you think the Taliban should be a playable faction or not. Does it really matter the conflict is ongoing, or is the move insensitive and unnecessary? Will the news change your mind on buying the game one way or the other? Let us know what you think, because I imagine one or two newspapers will be giving us a big piece of their minds very soon. In the meantime, that's your lot from me. More gaming grenades tomorrow.
In response, EA recently released this statement. Medal of Honor is set in today's war, putting players in the boots of today's soldiers. We give gamers the opportunity to play both sides. Most of us have been doing this since we were seven. If someone's the cop, someone's got to be the robber. Someone's got to be the pirate, and someone's got to be the alien. In Medal of Honor multiplayer, someone's got to be the Taliban. Gold Star mother Karen Meredith lost her son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, in Iraq in 2005, and she responded to EA's statement during a recent appearance on Fox and Friends, saying she doesn't agree with the cops and robbers comparison, and to her and others like her, this is more than a game.
It's disappointing. I just find this unrealistic to say that to compare cops and robbers to the Taliban and U.S. soldiers, that people can sit in their recliner and play this game, go grab a beer, come back and play again, and it's just not based on reality. My son didn't get to start over when he was killed. His life was over, and I have to deal with that every day. And we live it. It's not a game.
Medal of Honor's executive producer Greg Goodrich recently told the Associated Press that there's a difference between authentic and real.
There's a difference between authenticity and real, and what's plausible and not possible, right? And so what we try to strive for is authenticity and plausibility, you know, gear and weapon systems and locations that are plausible and absolutely 100% authentic, but potentially might not be 100% real.
So, with so many hats in the ring for the first-person shooter crown, setting becomes the key. Activision divides its two Call of Duty titles according to historical versus modern incarnations of the brand, while companies like Bungie, Crytek, and Guerrilla Games for Sony aim at the futuristic genre with their Halo, Crysis, and Killzone franchises, respectively. But by selecting a real-world environment set in an actual ongoing conflict, EA takes on Infinity Ward's Modern Warfare, the dominant modern shooter brand, and arguably the dominant shooter brand as a whole. Although, Modern Warfare only alludes to the settings and climate of present-day conflicts, suggesting them without grounding them in literal concepts. At any rate, Medal of Honor for the PlayStation 3, the Xbox, and PC launches in the U.S. on October 12, 2010, and in Europe on October 15th, 2010. You can visit www.medalofhonor.com for more intel.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Mrs. Will ya?
I love that song right there. That's Mean Tea, BBC. I just love that song. My first guest tonight comes to us from Southern California by way of Southampton, England. He recently joined the marketing department of Urgent Fury, and tonight we officially welcome the only man I've ever known that I consider to be lovely. Some folks know him as Julian. We know him as Jack. Welcome to Urgent Frequency, Jack. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm both fine and dandy, and it's very rare that I am both fine and dandy. Also joining us tonight, he's kind of become a regular. He's got many monikers. Jack of all trades. He's a master of none. Along with us again tonight is Bill Effing Murray, better known as Wolf Dog. What's going on, man?
I just spent some time at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim game, so.
Oh, you went to the game. Okay, well, so how was that? Was that pretty cool?
It's freaking horrible. The first pitch was a home run against my team, so Yeah, it can only go downhill from there.
The Angels,
my ice cream sandwich was good.
Well, there you go. Your $12 ice cream sandwich was tasty. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's funny that soda there is more expensive than gasoline.
Jack, we've been trying to get you here for weeks, months, actually. We got to spend some time at E3. You got to come out. I guess it was the last day of E3. I actually felt really bad for you because he wanted to get down there so bad, and he finally gets down there, and then you ended up paying like $1,000 in parking fees. And
I pretty much had to strip off and give everyone my clothes just to be able to park.
Then you ended up having to walk about 5 blocks, so that was crazy. But I'm really glad you got to come down. And, of course, we've been waiting to introduce you as part of the marketing department in Urgent Fury. There's some other things that we've got, which we'll talk about all that stuff. But first, tell us, now you and I have been friends for years and years. We've been friends for a while, but for people who don't know you, you've been around Urgent Fury for a while. Let's find out a little bit about you. I know for a fact that you're from England. You're from Southampton, England, which upon doing some research, I found out that Southampton is pretty interesting. What are your memories of Southampton, England?
Well, it's right on the coast of southern England. It's been integral in a lot of wars against the Germans, two of them to be precise. I grew up in England and came over here right around high school years. Brilliant place to live, although I leave the weather behind. Much prefer the Southern California weather here, actually.
But like I mentioned now, Southampton, I didn't know this, and again, upon doing some research, they obviously build all of the ships in Southampton, and it's actually where they built and launched the Titanic.
That's right, yeah. The Titanic actually sailed from Southampton a bit before my time, have you? But yeah, we're quite famous for the docks down in Southampton, and that's what creates a lot of the jobs down there, actually. My dad, you might remember a little war called the Falklands War, where we beat up on the Argies a bit. But my dad actually worked on the QE2, helped prepare the QE2 as a passenger ship for the soldiers down to the Falklands Wars, where, you know, once again, we beat up on the Argies.
It's island, right? It's an island chain.
Yeah. It's two islands off the coast of Argentina, which England own, which God knows why we own it, but we do. And apparently the Argies wanted to take it back. So, in the middle of the night, they came in and sort of said, we'll have this island back. And, it took us a while to fly down there. But with a few help of a few American warships, we said, no, we're going to keep this island. Thanks very much.
Now, see, it seems like you guys should have settled that discrepancy over a heated game of football, which brings us to your injury. What exactly happened? We tried to explain to everybody. We told everybody that you had an injured meniscus. Did this, playing? You are a soccer player.
Yep.
It seems stereotypical, but he's from England. He likes to drink and he plays soccer.
Go figure.
So tell us about the injury. How'd the injury take place?
Well, playing on a Sunday league and just went up for the ball. And as I came down, landed awkwardly on my left knee. And the meniscus sort of tore a little bit. When I came home, I was actually messing about with the baby and moved a little bit and the knee snapped out. So rushed to the emergency room, and it took a couple of days for it to pop back out. Bit gruesome, but all in all, no surgery needed. I've got to just man up, strengthen up the legs, and be back on the pitch.
I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad your injury is doing better, and I'm glad you took some time out to hang out with us tonight so we could introduce everybody to you. Tell us about how you got to Urgent Fury. Like I said, we've been friends for a long time, so I know a little bit of the story, but tell everybody how you...
Well, we go back years, of course, from that very fateful evening where I was actually in a very local clan. What SOCOM were we playing back then? We're going back years then.
Yeah, I think it was probably...
SOCOM 2?
Yeah, it was probably either the tail end of SOCOM 1 or the beginning of SOCOM 2.
Right, so for all the older players that played those games back then, I was in a local clan, and we met up and, just hit it off with a great bunch of guys. I mean, that's the one thing about SOCOM, I think, that sets itself apart from the other games that we've played, was the community. I don't really find that with a lot of the shooting games now or some of the other online games, but I really did find with SOCON that it was very community related and we could really get to know a bunch of the lads. But that's really how it all started and, you know, transitioned into a few clans, as you know, with the EC clan and then Rogue Seven. I just had a great time with that being bled into Urgent Fury, which is just fantastic.
Had you played in any other tournament communities before you got to Urgent Fury, or was Urgent Fury your first?
No, Urgent Fury was really the first. Anything else we had just dabbled in that was really sort of unprofessional and it wasn't really well organized. You know, and that's why it was sort of a magnetized effect with Urgent Fury. There was a lot of clans that had a great deal of respect for it. I found it to be very well organized and just really wanted to be a part of it. So, you know, I'm happy that I got involved and really excited about the future.
Primarily now, like I mentioned, you were invited to the staff as part of the marketing department because you do have a knack for it. You have a history in sales. You're very good with people. I can attest for that personally, is that you're very good with people. So we'll see where this leads. But now, the reason I have you and William here together tonight, Jack, is I know you guys, and you can't really talk a whole lot about it, but I know you guys are doing something. You got something in development, and I thought we could maybe tease everybody with that. The idea is Urgent Fury TV or UFT. TV now. Again, it's totally in its development stages. It's just going to be a counterpart, a visual counterpart to what we're already doing here with Urgent Frequency. Are you guys excited about that? Do you have any big ideas yet? Where are we at with that?
Well, we're still in, you know, developing a format, but there's some really exciting stuff coming the way of Urgent Fury. I don't really want to give too much away, but there's, you know, I don't know if Will wants to speak about it, but there's some exciting stuff coming.
I think it's the next step in development for exclusive content for Urgent Fury. I mean, going alongside with the podcast, we'll be able to pump out content just about every week to the Urgent Fury community.
And so this is going to be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be great, and I look forward to getting together with you guys and stuff like that. Jack, we were going to ask you, and we talked about this, but we were going to ask you, what games are you playing right now?
Well, of course, I'm dabbling in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2. Really, I'm just sitting back waiting for the next SOCOM game to come out. I'm very excited. I was given the privilege of playing a bit of SOCOM at E3, and it just looks to be an absolutely amazing game. That and, you know, some sports games, FIFA World Cup, FIFA 10. I do like to play a little bit of Little Big Planet here and there. I do like to mix it up. I like to mix it up with some of the sports games, some of the shooting games, and some of the driving games.
It's funny you mentioned FIFA during his few hours that he spent at E3. I can't remember what game was being played that day, but I remember it was a big game. I thought we were going to have a soccer riot at E3 because there was, you guys remember the lounge area where it, like, that was World Cup Central. And
well, and the thing about that is you didn't even have to have a pass to E3 to get in. You could walk in off the street to that little lounge.
And it's just, you know, it's just such a passionate sport. And of course, the English think we're the best, but we haven't won anything since 1966, so we keep waiting. Yeah, we're very depressed. It was not a good World Cup for us, and we haven't been playing well at all. So, but we just keep looking forward. Keep looking forward to the youth of tomorrow.
Any other games that you're anticipating right now? Like you said, driving games. I think everybody's waiting for Gran Turismo 5. Did you get to see that on the floor of E3 while you were there?
Yeah, I did get to see it. Unfortunately, there were too many people around to really get involved. I actually prefer some of the Need for Speed arcadey type racing games. I think Gran Turismo is a fantastic simulation game, but for me, I prefer some of the very fast Need for Speed games.
What about you, Will? What are you playing?
Playing a lot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I'm also, you know, every once in a while I have to go support my SOCOM side of my clan over there. Jump on there, help out, play around for a while. Catch me in a respawn room on there every once in a while. I'm also randomly throwing back and playing World at War online multiplayer, which is kind of weird, but it's pretty fun. I mean, I figure I might as well get the hang of Treyarch again for their next release coming up soon here. I know it sounds weird, but I've been playing the NHL 11 demo like crazy, just waiting for that to come out too.
Jack, I really do appreciate you taking time because I know you're really busy. And, of course, you got a little baby at the house and all that stuff. So I know you've been crazy. And I know you've had the meniscus tear, which, again, you're like the Brett Favre of the Southern California soccer world.
True.
And we're just waiting to hear if you're going to be back out on the, what do they call it, the pitch? Is that what they call it?
I will be back on the pitch probably in about 3 weeks. I'm already going through rehab work as it is. So my rehab work will be quicker than David Beckham's. So.
All the luck in the world to you, mate. And and again, I can't wait to see what happens with the Urgent Fury TV. I'm looking forward to that. Before we wrap this thing up, what would you like to say to Urgent Fury? And just say whatever you'd like to say to Urgent Fury.
Well, just stay tuned for some unbelievable stuff coming up. And it's a fantastic community. And, you know, it really doesn't work without great players, great community, a bunch of lads having a good laugh.
And William, what about you?
Be looking forward for more news soon about Urgent Fury TV. It's going to blow your mind.
Well, I can't wait. And who doesn't want their mind blown? Who doesn't want their mind blown? But I think it's going to be loads of fun. So again, thank you both, Jack and William, for stopping by. May the force be with you. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them to me via email at commanderfury@urgentfury.com. Also, remember to network with us via Twitter, on Facebook, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and on our web channel at youtube.com. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings and here in the studio by the lovely Allison Armstrong. Special thanks this week to the Grapevine. It's time for me to go. Till next time, I remain Commander Claymore Fury. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah! Put on the telly.